a date, and I am a recovering addict.
Amen.
And I want to thank God. I want to thank the committee. I'm on fire for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm on fire for life. I don't know about y'all, but you would have to know what 30 years looks like. You would have to know where I came from to know how I got to this desperation to passion. You would have to know that 10 years ago, I almost lost my life. I got 8 bullet wounds, 45 automatic, up close and personal in front of my kids. I'm from D.C. originally, but it was something about getting shot on that day that brought me to this day. It was something about how God's divine grace and mercy made sense in my life from that point on. Prior to that, you would have to understand, in recovery, I made a lot of mistakes. So for the newcomer that makes the mistakes, it's okay. Like, I'm on fire for Narcotics Anonymous. I come to serve notice on the disease of addiction. You try to take my life. You did me do a puppeteer kind of thing in me. And I serve him willingly. I know what willingness looks like, Father said. I was willing to do anything because I was living in an illusion. For 20 years in here, I did makeshift step work because I did something to make it look like it was something because I was too afraid to get in touch with who I was. So what happened to me, and I'm going to calm down. I'm excited. Look, I didn't build more stuff. I was made for this moment. You understand? You would have to understand. I love this book. I love all these books, but it's something about certain pages in this book. I've been telling Haspar, see, they up close in person. They know it's going down in the deal, like the youngest say. What? Look, I'm excited. You ain't excited about recovery? You need to go to sleep and wake up again. Look. So I've been telling my sponsee. See, because my first 5 years in here, my fourth year, I sold dope in Narcotics Anonymous. I sold dope, and I went back to the strip, and I slept with Speaky Dick. Speak on strip. He was crackhead. I was in recovery. Speak had good head. I put the leg on the table. And I gave crack. And me and Speak was cool. Sylvester don't stink. But I ain't tell about that step of stink. Because we have an inability to accept ourselves on a deeper level. So that inability won't allow me to tell you all of the truth. So, on page 20, it talks about the now, substitution, rationalization, justification, distrust of others, guilt, embarrassment, dereliction, degradation, isolation, and loss of control are all symptoms of my disease. Well, if my symptom is still operating with my clean time, what have I gotten away from? So now my disease is running rapid with my clean time. And I'm flagging the flag of recovery, masquerading as a recovering addict, because I want you to think I'm somebody that I ain't got in touch with yet. So I talked to my daughter the other day. She's a Marine. She's a retired Marine. She said, Mom, we was having our spiritual talk as we do in the morning. And she says, Mom, I want to tell you something about a flag. She said, only in this country do we lower the flag for dead people. She said, no other country does that. She said, Mom, when we lower the flag, that means you're dead. I said, okay, daughter, get to the point. She says, Mom, think about your program. We going in. We ain't playing. Come on, Dizzy. She says, What flag are you flying? I said, well, daughter, I would like the flag, that flag to be like up high, up close, so that somebody else could see it. Maybe the newcomer. It says attraction rather than promotion. For 20 years in here, I was a terrible example, but my sponsor said, you can be a wonderful example or a horrible one. My first 10 years in here, all my sponsors sold out with me. Oh, we came to the end of conviction. I've been clean 30. I only got one white key tag. But they are not here to talk about it. Because my disease was running the show in recovery. See, I don't know about y'all, but if you ever really did step on, I'm talking about not the one you talk about, I've done several series. But my life does not reflect the series I've done. So who's writing the work? So for 10 years in here, the first 10, I was operating out in an illusion, an illusion of control. I thought I was controlling something. You say, it says, we fix, manage, and control, but you can't fix, manage, and control if you don't know you fix, managing, and controlling. So now my disease is running rampant in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't even know I'm an illusion. I'm going to meetings. I'm sharing real. Ah! My disease is screaming at people. Get clean. You don't know. Oh my God. Do the right thing. And I'm foul as a mustard. So with the 10 years in here, my brother died of a hot shot of dope in the penitentiary. Wow. The same brother that I say sold me behind the petition and law, he ain't sold me. I was a volunteer once I did real step work. There was a dude named Mummy. He had his head turned backwards. He was my flavor. Because anything would have been my flavor. I just needed something to make me feel good. So I got behind a petition. I did what I do. My brother got some dope and we was cool. But then I recognized that everything in my life stemmed up to that point. The dope selling in the process. People telling me, you can't live like this, but not recognizing that if you shine a searchlight over your own life, you really can't judge mine. And it said somewhere in the literature that we all got to go through this place. I don't know what your place is. It's not my job to judge your place. All I know is I serve a God that when he's ready to get me from this place to that place, that he's the most powerful and I'm just a vehicle, that I don't have nothing without him. The end of the second step for me, I'm talking about my story. I done everything wrong in here. They thought Sebastian shot me. They locked him up for that. They locked that boy. He ain't shoot me. I'm sorry, Sebastian. My amends are loud. You know what I'm saying? For years in here, I was an illusion. My step work wasn't real. Wasn't nothing about me real. I didn't even know how to get in touch with me. Maybe it stemmed from me finding Mommy did when I was 9. I came home. Everybody in the house, I find Mommy. Why did I have to find Mommy? Don't be brother and it was in there nodding on the couch. Why they couldn't find the alcoholic uncle? Why he couldn't find her? Why I had to find her, Sam? I found her. And for some odd reason, because my inability to understand what trust looked like, I stayed stuck in a place that I could not trust anything or anybody. And I ain't have a problem with God. I ain't have a problem with him. I thought I had a vertical connection, but I just had a hard start to understand it. Wasn't nothing about me connected here. So he took me through some things. Maybe it was the fact that when I got raped as a kid, right? I'm talking about you got to know your disease. You got to know what got you to this place. We know what got us a seat in Narcotics Anonymous, but what got us to this place anyway? What made me feel that I was in a hopeless dilemma in my life, that I needed to kill myself on an installment plan? What made me feel that I was never worthy enough? Maybe it was because they was touching me as a kid. I thought I wasn't worthy, so you just keep abusing me. So I became the abuser of myself. And because of the trust levels and the hurt and the pain, I stayed there. So all my sexual experiences wasn't real sexual experience. I was trying to find out if anybody could make me feel anything emotionally, because I got out of touch with just feeling. The disease rendered me helpless before I even got to Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm walking around masquerading with my clean time. I'm looking like I'm recovering. I got the right hat on. I got the right shirt on. I got the right everything on. People saying, "You're amazed. Hey, girl, hi." And I'm speaking back. But there's something deep inside of me that cries out for failure in every sense of the word, in everything I do. It talks about it in this book, the Flat Book. It says, this is my favorite piece of information. It says, we may have to overcome a barrier that grows from an unwillingness to reveal more of our disease. Many of our members with clean time have shared that an inventory taken later in recovery revealed that the addiction has spread its tentacles so completely throughout their lives that virtually no area was left untouched. And say, this realization is initially met with feelings of dismay and perplexity. It says, we wonder how we could still be so sick. It says, hasn't all this effort in service here, all this effort in recovery resulted in more than surface healing? So I'm around here and I'm surfacely healing. I'm talking about then and now. Because if I don't know how I got to here, then I don't know what happened throughout the way. That's why step work is so important. If I don't never know that honesty is the antidote to my disease thinking, then I'm going to keep telling myself a lie. Let me tell you how I know. Page 38. It say honesty is a central part of this step. Our years of living a lie must end. If we sit down and become very quiet with ourselves, we will find it easy to get in touch with the truth. What we currently know to be true, we put on paper holding nothing back. Telling the truth is a brave act. But with our faith and trust in God of our understanding, the God of our understanding, we find the courage we need to be searching and fearless. With our courage, we are able to put on paper those things we thought we'd never tell. But then, if you go down a little further, it say we take stocks in our assets and our liability. We try to get to the bottom of who we are to expose ourselves to lies we told ourselves about ourselves. For years I had told myself some lies. For years I would become anybody you needed me to be in recovery. At 17 years, although maybe before 17 years, I was performing in the gay club. I wanted to be gay for a moment. I had a good run at being gay. I was gay. Or at least I tried to act like I was gay. It worked for me. It worked in the gay club. I was performing. I was an illusion on stage. I was pantomiming. I was crooning them. They was loving me. They was throwing money at me. It was amazing. And then I ran into that one girl. That tapped into my anger issues. And she tapped into my anger issues because she was smoking boat. And I'm in recovery. I got 17 years. What does it look like? So she broke in my house. I disfigured and maimed her and was facing 30 years clean. But maybe it was because I never addressed my anger issues in the first place with my makeshift step work in recovery. So I know I didn't, because when I went to treatment, I turned treatment out. What? I had to do some BC, sleeping with the girl from Denver. Look, we was having a regular little host stove in the jungle. I go from penitentiary to treatment. This looked like a good idea in my mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Right? But I got big ideas up here. So my big ideas told me that it was all right to sleep with a girl because I come from penitentiary acting, doing that kind of behavior. And the girl, I found a dude too. So the dude was my baby daddy that just got in touch with his daughter 5 years ago. Had my daughter in the penitentiary. The girl winked at my dude. Bad idea. So I said, come here, girl. She got a passion mark. I thought it was from him. I said, let me see that. I said, she's about, oh my God. I said, see it? We're going to get in trouble. I said, come here, I'm going to help you with that. I go blow up the earth. I say, put this towel in your mouth. And I iron the passion mark off her neck. Oh, y'all ain't never burned nobody. Cut it out. Cut it out. No, you're not yet. That's all it is. This is recovery. This is recovery. Because I'm recovering. I'm in treatment now. I'm getting better. But I kept asking the people in treatment, could you just tell me what's wrong with me? And they kept saying, we're going to have group, and they cursing me out, and they calling me all kinds of names. I said, how is this helping me? How is this helping me? They never addressed the abuse. They never addressed my private pain. They never addressed the fact that I was living in an illusion and I couldn't get out of touch with it. I needed somebody to guide me out of a dark place. They never addressed the fact that I kept sleeping with somebody trying to feel that sensation people say they get when they have sex. So I told you, you wasn't enough. It was never about you. It was about the fact that I was in pain and distrust and things like that. So when you operated in that, nobody will never be able to satisfy you because you haven't gotten out of the pain. Wow. In recovery. So you go to this one, that one, and the other one trying to feel something. Let me tell you how I know. These last 10 years of my recovery, I've been doing work like a mad Russian. I've been a mad scientist in the book. I cried a many nights wondering how I could, God, thank you for allowing me to live these last 10 years to let me feel what happy, joyous, and free feels like, looks like, smells like, tastes like. And even in that, I have not been perfect. I have been operating out of these spiritual principles with the best diligence I can muster up on a daily. I want to be honest. The only person I got to remember to be honest with is myself. Because if I can't tell me the truth first step, I definitely ain't going to be able to tell you the truth. So everything I touch, I'm still operating out of an illusion. Then if I don't get in that second step, it says I need to find something. I need to find me a God that could restore me from to a sane place. Because I still can act insane if I ain't got something that's stronger than my disease. Then it tells me, like, in that third step, I need to get enough faith. I don't know about y'all, but I got faith in abundance. I walked away from my job on Friday. The man cursed me out from Amazing Grace to a floating opportunity. Got all up in my face. Told me to get the F out of here. And I said, you need Jesus. I don't understand. I could have opened the door to fracture personalities and straightened it. But I ain't hurt no more. He said, you don't know what I'll do to you. I said, you have no idea what I'll do to you. But I did nothing. I said, touch not thy anointed and do thy prophets no harm. You're not the right one, Mr. Tawny Mustafa. Because I want to work recovery in their face. Every time my disease sent a double agent my way. People operating, I call them imps. You operating, trying to pull something out of me that you have no power to do. So I stay guarded up in here. I stay armored up in here. Because I ain't forgot where I come from. I ain't forgot who I've been. And I know if I'm not careful, the disease will use you to make me act like her. It said we have a closet of fractured personalities. 30 years ago, I had no act right. None. I remember I worked with this dude. He was like 6-something. He looked at a girl when we was in a basketball game. I smacked his whole head off. I didn't know he was. I knew he was tall. But he looked like a giant when he stood up. I said, don't do that no more. I'm telling you, your disease will play tricks on you. It wants to kill us. And it wants other people to kill us too. How do you think I got shot with 20 years clean? Hanging around people, still 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Trying to be a part of a lifestyle I say I have nothing else to do with. And they thought that I was going to tell. I didn't even get a chance to tell. Let me tell you this. I don't know how smart you are. But if I was going to tell, after you shot me, didn't you think I would have told? Come on now. I ain't never told on nobody in my life. I ain't never been that dumb. But I had to live through what people said about me. And smiled in my face and spreaded your rumors. In recovery. I had to have a real fifth step. Some integrity to hold my head up in spite of what you thought. I had to have some real humility and ask God to change me from the inside out. I had to have a real 7 and 8 step. I had to have some real forgiveness and justice in my 9th step. But most of all, I had to learn how to forgive me so I could let you off the hook. I had to have me a real 10th step. This in recovery. 30 years late, I'm still here and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. Every day I wake up, I say, God, thank you for another day. Then they made that song. Where Jimmy at? Jimmy say, that song, you thought I was worth saving. Woo! Woo! I don't know about y'all. I got poison in this 30 years. They gave me my last right. I came out of coma 2 days later. I got 9 bullet wounds all together, not 8. I got shot at active addiction. They wrapped my leg up. I was in the ambulance. I had a 16 of coke in my pocket. I jumped out and ran. I went and smoked. I recognize that where I am today is not where I was 30 years ago. Let me tell you how I know, and it's going to be quick. I ain't let nothing touch me emotionally. Nothing. Nobody, nothing. For 10 years up in here. God placed me in a city where they had one meeting. One. In that city, I got a bachelor's in theology. I didn't even try to go to theology school. I happened to go to a little class, I thought it was. A year later, I'm doing test paper. I didn't know what I was doing. I just did it and got all A's. And then they came and handed me a cap and gown. I said, what's it for? They ain't asking for no money. And next thing you know, old Jazz a millionaire. I got an associate's in theology. Then they say, well, don't stop coming now. It wasn't about you. Because I wouldn't have stayed. ain't come here for that. So I called one of my sponsees. Because every time I see this little guy, I got shit. Every time he come around, Sammy, he give me a hug, something happened. I get this. Because I've been in a secluded place for 9 years. It could have been him or anybody. Let's make that clear. All I ever wanted to do was allow something to touch me emotionally. Because I did the work, I was being freed from myself without my permission. So he comes, he hugged me. He ain't even got to hug me. All he got to do is walk in the room and I say, I said, what is this? Now I'm getting angry. Because now I'm feeling something I ain't never felt in years. Never gave myself the opportunity to love. My daughter say, Mom, to love is a choice. I got it. So I said, okay. To love is a choice in here. To care is a choice in here. I called one of my girlfriends. I said, you know, every time, you know, this guy, something happens. And she says, that's called senile. Yeah. It's like a dog being in heat. Mm. Wow. I said, okay, what does that mean? She said, you're preparing yourself. Mm. I say, for what? I play stupid sometimes. So, what I'm trying to say is, when I'm out of touch with my emotions, when I'm out of touch with doing makeshift things that I don't want you to know the truth about me, I will tell you anything so I will be okay with the lies I tell myself about myself. So the Simeo was like, it wasn't even about him. It was the fact that my feelings have been opened up. I've learned what vulnerability feels like. Because if you ain't vulnerable, you ain't open. You can talk honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness all day. But without vulnerability, that does not happen. I gotta allow somebody to, in my life, to just love them enough so I can love me enough. Wow. So I'm going to tell you this quick little story and I'm gone. So it was this man. He needed a job. I thought this was funny, so I'm going to tell it again. He needed a job and he went to the zoo. So the zoo said, well, our main attraction has it died. And we need somebody to act like a gorilla. He said, all I need you to do is put on the gorilla suit and jump around from limb to limb. He said, okay, I think I could do that. He said, it's our main attraction. I'm telling you, it pays well. This joker put on that monkey suit, started jumping around, beating on his chest, and they was throwing money. At the end of the day, he collected his pay. He said, wow, can I come back tomorrow? He said, sure, come on back. He came in there this day. He put on the suit. Boo, boo, boo. He get paid at the end of the day. He excited. Like more money than he could even muster up on any job. The third day he came in there. Something about that number three. Right? He put on the monkey suit. But he forget that he ain't really a gorilla. So he starts swinging on the limb this day. He flip around and landed in the lion's den. He said, oh, oh, can somebody, oh my God, get me out of here. The lion said, could you stop screaming and hollering for somebody to figure out I really ain't a lion? Thanks for letting me sing.